We have an audible sound like we did with GoToMeeting to indicate it starts.
That's the only thing it doesn't. You may see a toggle up in your upper left-hand corner if it says recording. I'm not sure.
It's covered by my camera. So I will call. I will call the November 12th special meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order, and we'll begin by asking Councilmember Morgan to rise from the couch and lead us in the pledge.
I do it. All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Tell me if you please call the roll.
Okay. Mayor Holzklaw.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Bunnell.
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari. Councilmember Bond. Councilmember Steckler.
Here.
Councilmember Bryles. Councilmember Morgan.
Here.
The city clerk, we do have a quorum, correct?
Yes, we do.
Since we called this meeting on short notice, Councilmember Bond, Councilmember Cavallari, and Councilmember Bryles indicated they may have schedule conflicts. So can we have a motion to excuse those three council members?
Motion to excuse Councilmember Bryles, Cavallari, and Bond.
Seconded.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 I heard four aye votes, so the motion carries. That will turn it over to Michael and Director Todd.
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, we want to thank Council for making time in their busy schedule for the special session tonight. We have a change order in the amount of $79,391.89. That's well north of my $50,000 limit. And Mr. Todd is going to give us additional details on it. We'll be asking Council to adopt a resolution authorizing me to execute the change order. Director Todd?
Yeah, thank you. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, so hopefully you read the packet. I don't want to reiterate what's there, but I'd be happy to talk about it as deeply as you'd like to go. Basically, the project needed to be suspended in early October to deal with a design change. So the contractor has taken all of his equipment off site and has been waiting for us to get this done. Our consulting engineering folks at Gray and Osborne have done that work with the help of some sub-consultants. They have worked with WashDOT, worked with the contractor. Everybody's come to an agreement on how to fix this problem. The next step was to go back to the contractor and now say, okay, if we fix it this way, what's it gonna cost? So he uses both standard costs from the contract. He's already agreed to a price for flaggers or concrete, but there were some new items, namely big ones like he gets the bite of the apple to say it's going to cost me this much to remobilize. He's got to bring back a porta potty and bring back a trailer and bring back whatever to do some work on site. He estimates it's going to take 10 days, 8 to 10 days to do the work. And so part of this process is we also say we grant you 10 days and he will have that many working days. Likely he'll spend 7 or 8 of those actually doing the concrete work and putting in posts, putting in the push buttons. But the things that will be long lead items are the two rectangular rapid flashing beacons, RRFBs, at that crossing location need to be replaced to be the very latest up-to-date ADA version that the state and the feds like to see. So those are long lead items. So he'll come back out and bolt those out of the poles, but that's going to be a simple thing when the time comes. So you'll see in that table that's enumerated on the change order, those are the prices he's quoted for those things. At this point, we're saying that's close enough. WashDOT has agreed we have enough substantiation to say that's an acceptable price. Remember that WashDOT manages this budget on behalf of the feds. The feds gave us $720,000 towards this $1.2, $1.3 million project. So we've already spent the feds' money, but WashDOT watches throughout the entire project very closely to make sure we're doing the right things with respect to the federal rules and how the contract is administered. With that, that's kind of the basics. You'll see there on the change order, it says that's the estimated price. It's estimated because if he uses fewer flagger hours or more flagger hours, for instance, it will go up or down. And so the advice of the city attorney, the motion tonight would be to approve the city manager signing that change order, but not for a specific amount. We put the amount in there so you know what we're talking about. But when we get all done, it could be up or down a little bit from that. Again, it's over his $50,000 limit. That's why we're bringing it to you tonight. We again apologize that we really thought we were going to be wrangling with the contractor about how long it would take and how much it would cost and whether he's going to do it in one piece or two, all those kinds of things for a little bit of time. And it turns out he came back and says, I think I can squeeze this in. He wants to get started immediately. So we apologize again. We didn't think about that last Friday when we were talking to him and thinking about the different paths. Turns out on Tuesday morning, he came back and said, I'll do it. Let's go for it. And so that, again, we thank you for having a special meeting tonight. I do have the change order had those diagrams. If you're interested, I've got one I can point to. Those diagrams are complicated, but I can explain in more detail why we got ourselves into this situation and why it costs that kind of money. Or if that's more engineering detail than you want, I'll just tell that to myself later. That's the end of my presentation. So I'm open to questions.
Mike, just two things. One, I think if there's a very quick thumbnail version of why we're here, that would be helpful. But the second point is something you and I discussed months ago when the repavement came before us. I don't think we got quite the answer we wanted from Matt Feely. I'm not expecting the answer tonight, but in the future, I'm still struggling with what are the engineering changes to these designs and these ADA requirements that are materially different, or why they're beneficial for access above what we previously did. And I don't want an answer tonight, but I think you and I both weren't satisfied with the explanation we got 6 months ago.
Yes, and I think, in sure, I agree with you 100%. And sometime you and I will go and I'll point to some differences because I've been looking at these things. If you look at projects that have federal funding, the ADA post is placed in a location that someone essentially in a wheelchair could roll up to that post and reach no further than 10 inches outside of their wheelchair frame and push the button. And that button has to be perpendicular to their direction of travel to take a particular crosswalk. If you look on 164th, where that was federal money that was done, where we jointly did it with Snohomish County and Mill Creek a couple of years ago, you'll see those special posts. You'll see those special push buttons that when you push them, they talk. And they are aligned in that fashion I described. The ones Matt Feely was talking about is we have them around our city, and you see them other places too. They were used to be you could place them a little bit further away, and they didn't think about where the wheelchair was going to go. And so that's essentially what's happened here is the who designed the outfit that designed this, I don't think was really up to snuff on the latest ADA. And so I'm dying to show you a picture, but I won't. But so, for instance, they made the assumption that the post at that RRFB was close enough because it was close enough to the sidewalk before. But that sidewalk right in front of the post is not flat. It's a ramp. You cannot put a push button on a ramp. It was never legal when they did it 10 years ago, I don't think. But since it wasn't federal money, nobody squawked about it. Same thing I think happens other places. So what we're doing is we're tearing out concrete that is a ramp when it has to be flat. We're making it extend out another 2 feet so that that push button on that post can be somebody can roll up to it with a wheelchair. Many of those, so there's 10 different places where there's ADA push buttons, all 10 of them required some changes. So yes, indeed, your next question is we're gonna go back to the design firm when this is all said and done. Some of this we think is their fault, or I shouldn't say fault. It's their design that we can argue about whose fault that was. Some of it may fall on the city that we weren't clever enough to see these documents. Some of it may fall in the crack. Some of the stuff we would have had to do anyway, the upgrade in the RRFBs, we would have had to pay for those regardless whether the original designer missed it or not. But putting in concrete and tearing it out, moving a post, tearing it out, that's the extra money and this extra mobilization. So Grant will help us figure that out. When we're all done, we'll be able to total this up and then figure out what portion of that money is extra money that we can go back and talk to the original designer about.
Great, because that was my next question.
Okay, yeah. I think some of this is recoverable, not a lot of it. it ends up being more expensive to do it afterwards because, for instance, that mobilization, that's definitely an extra cost. It's a cost to the contractor. I don't besmirch him at all. You know, he had to put his people on hold. This is a tough time for these guys. You know, they don't have other business in some cases. This is the time of year when they're putting people on or laying them off or putting them on furlough for the winter. He's keeping people on for this. That's one reason I think he was anxious to get this done and get business wrapped up for the winter. So anyway, that's kind of an explanation of what's going on there. I wish there was other ways to do this. We looked at it, tried to be really clever. This is the cleverest, most expedient way to get it done.
No, there's no question about that. And my point of bringing the issue up in the spring was just, you know, we talk often about unfunded mandates. And we see, you know, every time we do a repavement project, it triggers us having to look at these, and they aren't inexpensive.
No.
And just to the layperson, you look at them, and I look at it and say, you know, I'm all for access, but I'm trying to understand what is it that makes this ramp that much more accessible for a handicapped person than what we had there. And that's where sometimes it's hard to understand. So.
Yeah. And Mayor Holzfeld, I promise you, I will go back because I'm curious myself. I'm going to look at the last 10 years of ADA and see when the revisions happened, because I don't know if we indeed just didn't interpret the rules as precisely 10 years ago or if they've changed along the way. I suspect they've changed a little bit. For instance, these push buttons, they have to talk. Those weren't required 10 years ago.
Right.
But the location of the push button, I don't really know if that's changed or if it's just a tighter interpretation. I will tell you on this project, good news, bad news, because it was complicated enough, the WSDOT person who normally does kind of a spot check, she pulled in the ADA expert. And so she came and she looked at this with a fine tooth comb. So she probably caught more than the inspector might've caught, but this is exactly right now. And that's the right thing to do. I would not have wanted to just hope that the inspector didn't catch one thing or another, but the inspector came and looked at it and said, or the ADA expert said, oh yeah, that doesn't work. So we got the expert advice for free from the state. Just unfortunately, we should have availed ourselves of that expertise a year ago.
Any other questions for Mike on the proposal before us? Hearing none, do we have a motion? Councilmember Steckler.
Mayor, I make a motion to adopt resolution 2020-592 authorizing the city manager to execute change order number 4 to contract 2020-1563.
Seconded.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 4-0. That is our agenda for the evening. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Naomi.
Thank you, everyone.
That will be adjourned until our regular meeting on November 24th at 6:00.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you, everybody.
See y'all later. Good night.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
You too.